This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Praise God for the worship. My name's Adrian, but my wife's name is Lisa. She's 5'4", comes up about right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox, cha-ching. It's to show these young men in the room that when they get married 1,500 years from now, it's possible for you to be a man. I don't know if you know this about your president here, but he is quite the athlete. It's possible for you to be a man. He wrestled in college. He like runs marathons and triathlons at the same time. Okay. But it's possible for you to be a man and love your wife. It's not a sissy thing. It's a man thing as far as I'm concerned. But I need to tell you a crazy story, something that happened to me this past June. In June, I was playing dodgeball in Granby, Colorado, 9,000 feet up. The first three games, we had gotten destroyed. I was knocked out in the first minute. I don't know what happened. But I felt like I was an athlete. So I turned it up. We won the next two games. I actually recruited my son Branson to play with us. And by the way, it reminds me, where's my daughter, Caitlin? Is Caitlin, where's Caitlin? Caitlin, stand up. Just stand up. Let everyone say hello to my daughter. Just wave your hand then. Wave. Someone next to her, wave her hand and point at her like this. That's my daughter, Caitlin. Okay, so watch this now. All right, I forgot what I was saying. And then Becca sitting right next to Becca. I got to bring you out every time. Now watch this now. So I was playing dodgeball. I recruited my son. He's 6'6". He's a all-state athlete, kind of football player, basketball player, and baseball kind of thing. So I recruited him because he's the son of an evangelist. We had all six evangelists against six evangelists. I recruited him, and I gave them somebody else who wasn't quite as good. So we won the next two games. Then on the sixth game, we're coming back. We're playing best out of seven. On the sixth game, they lined up across from me their best athlete. The floor's like ice. It's just dirt outside. It's slick. So I lick my shoes and try to get a little grip. And I'm thinking, they got the best athlete there. We need to win this. I turned it up as hard as I could. Ran as fast as I could. I haven't run fast in 15 years. When I run with the football team at the University of South Carolina, I run with the linemen, so I don't have to run fast. Don't tell them I said this, but I still beat them. So I turned it up and ran as fast as I could. Got to the middle, slipped and fell. Bam! Hit my knee hard on the ground. My quad fired, completely tore my quad tendon off the bone. The bone came out over here, was broken about three quarters of an inch right here. So I tried to push it back in, but it wouldn't go. So I completely tore my quad tendon. Or I tore my quad tendon pretty bad. Went to the emergency room. They couldn't figure out exactly what was wrong with it. I get back. I go to the doctor. Have an MRI, CAT scan, all the work, and apparently it's a torn quad tendon. I'm at Lowe's two and a half weeks later. I'm at Lowe's, crutching around. I'm going to have my surgery within the next week or so. I'm at Lowe's, crutching around. I get to the spot at Lowe's where I'm trying to get a vanity off the shelf. I've got a Jesus shirt on, so I'm sharing Jesus with the guy at Lowe's worker dude. And my wife's sitting behind me. They both say at the same time, let us get a lift and we'll get the vanity off the shelf. It's a 1.5 by 1.5 by 3 foot vanity. How much does that weigh? 25 pounds max? I got this. The guy says to me again, let's get a lift. And I'm on crutches and I'm reaching as high as I can reach and I can barely get to the bottom of the box. And I'm sliding off. I said, no, it's not going to be that hard. I'll get it. My wife says, let him get a lift. I didn't know there's a 50 pound sink in the top of that box. Thank you. Finally, somebody feels sorry for me. Until this point, I haven't had any of that. So I pull the thing out. I tell the guy as it's coming out, I didn't know. I thought it would just be 20 pounds. The thing flips over and nails me right in my knee. I bounce twice. Bam, bam, flip up. And I jump up in the air to try to save my leg. It's in a brace. I try to save my leg. I jump up and land. I'm in there and I go, whabam, square on my back. Everything, I started seeing stars. No birdies, just the stars. But I saw, and the guy screamed at me, you need me to get an ambulance, need me to get an ambulance. I can't sue Lowe's because I was sharing Jesus with the guys ahead of. And I look back at my wife and she's just going, shaking her head no. I will tell you this, and the reason why I bring this up, because it has everything to do with this message this morning. I will tell you this right, believe it or not, I will tell you this right now, that was probably the lowest point of my entire life. And it was the first time I felt like the Lord spoke to me clearly in a while about my sin. I was laying on my back. At this point, before that, my knee hurt, but it wasn't that bad. At this point, the entire tendon tore completely, and my quad was up here in a ball right here, and I could feel my femur bone right there. At this point, it really, really hurt. It was excruciating pain. And I was laying down on my back, and it nailed me. You remember the name of the object I was pulling off the shelf? Anybody know the name of the object? Vanity. The Lord spoke to my heart, that's just like you. And I just started sobbing. I cried. I'd never really understood how prideful I was. Trying to win a dodgeball game, so I slip and fall and bust my knee. Trying to get something off a shelf. I got this here. I can handle it. I can do all this. He flips over, bam. I feel like the Lord said, how many more times do I have to do this before I get your attention? Now, I don't know if that's just the thoughts I had streaming through my mind. It might have been him. I think it probably was. But I'll tell you this right now. I've never been so low in my entire life. I've had some other low points in my life, but nothing compares to what happened to me there. That in mind, let me ask you a question. Does God punish sin the same way in the New Testament as he did in the Old Testament? Yes or no? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that language. It sounded like you said. What language is that? Some kind of Yiddish? I don't know. I'm not familiar with it. Sorry. I barely speak English, so you have to tell me a little better than that. So let me ask the question again. Does God punish sin the same way in the New Testament as he did in the Old Testament? Yes or no? Some of you say yes. Some of you say no. I've heard that. So let's go through it real quick. You tell me. How did God punish sin in the Old Testament? Raise your hand and let me call on you. How did God punish sin in the Old Testament? Yes, right here. Open up the ground and swallow up. Were the followers of Korah? Is that who they were? I've always wondered what that looked like. What did that look like? I don't mean to make light of it, but what in the world? He opened up the ground. Some of you have seen Indiana Jones, the crusade one, when the ground opened up. And he's like, Indy, let it go, Indiana. I'm sorry. But and the ground was open up. It was going to swallow them up. Where'd they go? They went straight down to Sheol. So that's one. Give me another one. Yes, right here. Rain and fire, Sodom and Gomorrah, Shabbat! Intense fire. They all were obliterated instantly. I don't mean to make light of it. I mean, that's intense. Give me something else. Yes, right here. A whale swallowed a guy. I had a teacher when I went to undergraduate school tear out the book of Jonah and said, this couldn't happen. And she threw it behind her. I had just gotten saved. So I went, hey. When we had one, we could do one paper on one book of the Bible and a 75% of a grade. Guess which book I chose? Who's Your Daddy? I proved scientifically that you can live in the belly of the whale for 3 days. I proved it scientifically. We believe it might have happened according to National Geographic magazine in 1952 off the Falkland Islands. A guy was whale hunting, was swallowed by a whale. They captured the whale 3 days later, sliced his belly open, splashed seawater on him, and he was fine. So I got an A+ on the paper. C in the class. Just kidding. So watch this now. So just loosen up, okay? So a whale, I mean, that's pretty intense. Give me some more. Come on, give me the big one. Yes. A pack of bears. Going up, old Baldy. Talk to your Hebrew teachers about that one, because it's a little deeper than what you think. But that's pretty intense. Give me another. Give me the big one. Yes. Through some rain. How about a whole bunch of rain? And did you see the big rock guys in there? I'm just kidding. What a horrible show. What a waste of my money. I walked out there and goes, Those big rock dudes. I mean, where'd they come from? Nephilim. So watch this now. So I mean, he obliterated the world. He obliterated the world. And drowning is very intense. I've never drowned before, but I've understood from television, I guess, that it's pretty intense stuff to watch. So I didn't really mean to make this a light part because this is very intense stuff. I mean, God punished sin in the Old Testament intent. But what about the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8? You remember what happened to her? He said, let him who has not sinned cast the first stone. You know the story. Let him not. The oldest guy drops the stone first. That's interesting. More sin in his life. Oh, walked out. Youngest guy's holding on to his rock the last second. And walks off. And then Jesus looks at the woman. There's no one there. He says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, there are none, sir. Then he said, what? Do you remember? Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Does God punish sin the same way in the New Testament? You know what the Old Testament says to do with that lady caught in adultery? Supposed to be a guy there too, but that's beside the point. I mean, what does the Bible say to do with that guy? It says to what? Stone them. Does God punish sin the same way in the New Testament as it does in the Old Testament? You want to say no now, don't you? Let's look at the book of Joshua. Take your time. Hurry up. Joshua chapter 7. Let's go. Hurry up. You can get your phone out and look for the Bible app. I'm going to be in the Holman. I don't even know the name of the version. Is that bad? Let me just see. Holman Christian Standard Bible. I hear. That's like saying, I'm from Ohio. Same thing. I am from Ohio. Why are you making fun of me? That's horrible. Ohio rocks. All right, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, God says, keep yourselves from the things set apart, or you will set apart for destruction, or you will be set apart for destruction. If you take any of those things, you will set apart the camp of Israel for destruction and bring disaster on it. For all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are dedicated to the Lord and must go into the Lord's treasury. Okay, this is right before they're about to take Jericho. They're about to take Jericho, and God says Jericho's wealth goes into the treasury. Now, you're going to have millions upon millions of dollars worth of wealth that you're going to get from the Canaan conquest. Jericho, though, is the first one. The first fruits go to me, God says. And that's what he's saying to him. Don't touch it. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Israelites, however, were unfaithful. Who was unfaithful? The Israelites. Interesting. Regarding the things set apart for destruction, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of what was set apart, and the Lord's anger burned against the Israelites. Who took something? Achan. Who was God mad at? Israel. I wonder if the sin that we commit affects the people around us. I wonder. Can you imagine the Lord being mad at somebody else because of my sin? I think this is quite the little message for the church leaders in the room. So Joshua sent men up to a place called Ai. We'll just call it that because who knows how to pronounce that. Ai. So he sent some guys up to Ai, and the guys came back and said that it's not that big. We only need to send a couple thousand guys. So they sent a couple thousand guys up there. And you know what happened because of the sin of Achan? The Israelites were routed. The men of Ai came out, chased them down to the stone quarries, and I don't know, 36 of them die, I think it is. 3,000 men went up there. Verse 5, the men of Ai struck down 36 of them and chased them outside the gate quarries, to the quarries. And in verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell before the ark of the Lord with his face to the ground until evening. As did the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. Oh, Lord God, Joshua said, why did you ever bring these people across the Jordan to hand us over to the Amorites for our destruction? If only we had been content to remain on the other side of the Jordan. You remember what was on the other side of the Jordan? What was the food? Manna. Every day for 40 straight years. He said, if only we had been content with manna when you got a chocolate cream pie hanging out over there in the promised land. If only we'd been content with that. Here, I got a piece of cotton in my pocket here. Looks like it's got some lint in it. If only we'd been content with. I don't know exactly. It had some coriander, some maybe some honey or something. Maybe it tasted good for the first week. Then they had manna mush for breakfast every day for 40 straight years. They kept all of it in their manna refrigerator. That's funny. But manna bread. Manna cotti. Okay, so watch this now. That's not funny. Why am I chewing this? Excuse me. I don't know what that was, Bill. I have no idea. Stay focused, though. So he said, this is how far sin will take you. Sin will take you to where you want to be content with far less than what God intends for you. Far less than what God intends. He says, if only we've been content to stay on the other side of Jordan. Interesting phrase there, Joshua. What can I say now, verse 8, now the Lord has turned his back on us and run from its enemies? When the Canaanites and all who live about this hear about it, they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. Then what will you do about your great name? He actually questions God. Job did it 5 times I read recently. He did 5 times he said, no, you know, God made a mistake. And God sat him down and said, who is this that darkens my counsel with the words that are too wise for his own understanding? You want to ask me a few questions, Job? Sit down. Brace yourself like a man. Let me ask you a few questions. Were you there when I made the storehouses of snow? Do the lightning bolts report to you and say, where do we go from here? Did you tell the ocean to stop right there? Do you watch the fawn giving birth? Job put his hand over his mouth, the Bible says. Just cook up. No mas. Verse 10. Then the Lord said to Joshua, I love this phrase, stand up. Why are you on the ground? Israel has sinned. Who sinned? What? I thought Achan was the one who stole it. Interesting. They have violated my covenant. He just goes on and says Israel messed up. And then he says this. Tomorrow, here's what I want you to do. Bring in front of me every tribe. And the tribe I pick, bring in front of me every clan. And the clan I pick, bring in front of me every family. And the family I pick, bring in front of me every male. And I'll show you who sinned. Can you imagine what Achan was thinking when he heard about this? I need to get a volunteer. And let me tell you before you volunteer. I'm going to ask the Lord. We have a projector here. I think it's somewhere right there. Right there. And I want you to volunteer to stand right here, underneath the screen, right here. And we're going to ask God to put on the slides your sins from the past month. Can I get a volunteer? Hi, there's people raise their hands. That's funny. That's funny. Holy people, I guess. And so watch this now. Can you imagine? There's not a single sin in this room other than the ones that have been confessed. But the Lord doesn't know. So God says to them, I know who did it. Bring him up one at a time. We came all the way down to Achan. And Joshua looked at him and says, Achan, tell us the truth. Tell us what happened. And then Achan said in verse 20, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I did. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful cloak from Babylon, 200 silver shekels, 200 silver shekels, 200 weighs about 5 pounds. And a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, pound and a half. I coveted them. First he said, I saw it, then I coveted it, I took it, and I hid it. That's one of the ways that sin works in our lives. We see it, we want it, we take it, we hide it. I mean, how many people really know that you look at something on the internet you're not supposed to be looking at? Is it not hidden very well, by the way, for some of you? How many people know that? And that's the way sin works. You see it, you want it, you take it, you hide it. And then you see what happened to Joshua. Verse 24, then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the cloak, the bar of gold, his sons and daughters, his ox, donkey, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you troubled us today? The Lord will trouble you. So all Israel stoned them to death. They burned their bodies and then threw more stones on them and raised a large pile of rocks on them that remains to this day. Then the Lord returned from his burning anger. Therefore, that place is called the valley of Achor to this day. Achan stole a little bit of stuff. It seems like sometimes our sins look kind of small, don't they? He just took a little bit of stuff. Wasn't that big a deal? A slab about that big of silver and about that big of gold and a Babylonian robe. And he hid him in his tent. And the Lord turned his favor away from Israel. And 36 of them died. And because of that, God said, take care of him. And they stoned him. Then they burned him. Then they put more stones on him. Very intense. God does not mess around with sin ever. Stealing, cheating on tests, lying, gossip, lust, envy, pride, idolatry. I serve a football team where it seems that there's 85,000 people at a frenzy on Saturday night, but they're not so excited on Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong, I love football. I love competition. But how much more do I love Christ is the question. I mean, do I go on church on Sunday morning? Good question. So God cannot, he hates sin, worry, racism, not forgiving somebody when they sin against you, and pride. They say it'll be 2 years before I can run again. 2 years. And it's still swelling 3 months later. Pride. So I guess the question we have on the table right now is, does God punish sin the same way in the New Testament as he did in the Old Testament? The answer seems to be no, doesn't it? But the answer is absolutely without question, yes. He punishes sin the same way in the New Testament as he does in the Old Testament. The only difference is who gets the punishment. Do you two guys have good solid backs? Do you have a good back? How about you? Okay, you're killing me. How about you two? You have good backs? Good backs? Are you sure? All right, come on up here quickly. Hurry up. Take your time. I gave you your chance, and you just kind of kicked the ball in somebody else's goal. All right, stand right here. Stand right here. The difference between God punishing sin in the Old Testament versus the New Testament is Christ took the punishment on himself. Now, when the world was obliterated by the flood, dying by drowning is pretty significant. Dying by being burned with sulfur, very significant. The world's dying, but being tortured on a cross for 6 hours. Christ was obliterated for our sin. He actually took all of the punishment that all of us in the room deserve combined. Now, when we were playing North Carolina, up at North Carolina several years ago, a guy named Brandon Isaac came off the field, and his arm was like this. And I was freaking out. I said, look at his arm. His arm's sticking out. It was sticking out, dislocated. He said, preacher, come here. I said, what? He said, come here. Hold my arm and pull it up a little bit. I pulled it up about this far. He goes, ah! I said, what? He said, just hold it right there. I said, okay. He goes, ha-ha! And snaps it back into place. And then he goes, okay, and ran back in the game. Brandon and I laugh about that to this day. I believe the passage in Psalm 22 where it says his bones were out of joint was describing that his shoulders would have been dislocated. If that's the case, I want to show you with dislocated shoulders. Are these the only two guys who are going to really understand it? You'll see it though. How you doing? No. I just want to show you what it would have looked like. So I want you to brace yourselves right there. Brace yourselves there. Now, my quad is in bad condition right now. I can't put any weight on it hardly at all. Like I just started going up and down stairs yesterday by stepping up. So I want to show you what his quads would have felt like with the bad part of my quad. And how much weight he would have felt on his dislocated shoulders. I did my senior thesis in undergraduate school on the medical aspects of the Passion and Crucifixion of Christ and what he went through medically. I want to show you what that would have looked like. These are the only two, so brace yourself, guys. These are the only two who are actually going to feel it.
You ready? Mm-hmm. No, don't. All right. Now, you guys feel the weight that would have been on my shoulders?
Yeah.
Now, my quad muscles is screaming at me right now. Try to stand up straight if you can. All right. You see these two guys. They're pretty big guys. The guy next to him asked him if he would remember him in paradise. So Jesus probably had to bounce his way up the cross. Don't use your arms. Bounce his way up the cross to let air into his lungs. And my quads are right now starting to tremble. And then after he'd speak to the guy and like gave him a pass to glory, after he saved him, I believe, he went back down the cross. And all of his weight was on his shoulders. Thanks, guys. Absolutely without question, our sins are punished the same way in the New Testament as they were obliterated in the Old Testament. Should we go on sinning so grace may abound? May it never be. God forbid it. So keep a short account of sins. Even the ones we've kind of gotten used to. Lying and cheating. Picking up something that wasn't really yours. Snooze, you lose. Possessions, 9/10. It's just a little thing. About that big. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Okay, Papa. I believe I was just told to let you take a few seconds to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. As a matter of fact, if you have sins that you'd like to be forgiven of now, why don't you just stand right where you are and simply tell the Lord you're sorry. If you don't have any sins, if you prayed up, confessed up, please remain seated. If you have sins you'd like to be forgiven of now, stand up right now, ready to go. Jesus, we want to say thank you for dying for us. I'm not sure how we could thank you enough. I don't know. I'm glad it's not a competition or even what you asked for. But I pray that our love for you would make obedience burdenless. We love you, Papa. You're the best thing that's ever happened to us. We praise you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.